that if you have to choose, you have a Yosom and the Yosoma who come to you at the same time, asking for the same staka, so the priority goes to the Yosoma. And the Gemara, as we saw, has essentially two different reasons for this in the two different cases. One, Mipnei Shebushaso Shalisha Meruba Mishalish, because her embarrassment is greater, so that is what is mentioned second, mentioned in terms of the wedding. And earlier than that, the Gemara says that in terms of the Parnasa, that we prioritize the woman because Ish Darko Lachzor Ahab Sachin V'ein Isha Darko Lachzor. That is the last line in the Samach Zayin of Aleph. So that din, that the Isha takes priority, is what is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, as we saw. And the question that the Nosei Kalim deal with, and that others deal with, is how does this work with a very well-known Mishnah in Horius? And it's interesting, in terms of the public discourse on this issue, for some reason, maybe it's not so surprising, Mishnayos are more well-known than Gemaras, so the Mishnah in Horius is more well-known. And when you talk about this topic, so that Mishnah is usually what's brought up first, and the Mishnah is highly charged, talking about prioritizing based on Yichus, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, etc., and prioritizing based on gender. There the Mishnah is saying that the man comes first. So that's always a topic of a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, and it's not often noted that in the general discourse that there is a Gemara which seems to say the opposite, at least in terms of Isha and Isha. And that's the topic that the Nosei Kalim, the Rishonim already a little bit, pick up. How exactly do you reconcile the two? So what possible answers did we see? Just to recap, what were some of the approaches that we saw? How could you possibly make Horius and Ksubis coexist?
Once Tavei V'Yabinar,
so right, that was what the Meiri and a few others suggested, that maybe specifically if you don't have any other option, so then there is a priority given to the Ish. We have to figure out why that should be. Where our Gemara is talking about where we're trying to avoid recourse to other options, so then we will prioritize the Isha so she shouldn't have to have recourse to Chosho Apsach in their life. So the Rambam says that, so we'll talk about that, the Rambam, the Bar Mir, and others. So that's in terms of the reason, so we'll have to figure out how that reason plays in and what it means, and talk about that a little bit. Tamir?
You said that the few others say that the Gemara Argon Ksubis is only talking about Ksus and Achila, whereas the Gemara Norios is just talking about Lachelos in terms of actually saving something.
Right. So, and there are those who distinguish even further. Some of the Rishonim say distinguish between Ksus and food. Our the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch passing this across the board that for all Milei Tzedakah, the Isha comes first. And they assume that Horius is not talking about Tzedakah, it's talking about Hatzalah. So there is a strong trend in the poskim, Shulchan Aruch being prominent among them, and said it in the Beis Yosef as well. And it's also consistent with what appears in the Ramah in the next siman, that there's two different sugyas here, that there's one sugya of Hatzalah and one sugya of Tzedakah Kedimus. And as far as Tzedakah Kedimus, the Isha comes first. As far as Hatzalah, so the man comes first. Are there any other approaches in terms of trying to answer the question? Yes, Sammy? Yeah, so that was really to what Aaron mentioned. Anything else? Tamir?
Further extend that answer to say maybe even Gemara and Horius could, that the Mishnah Horius could be talking about, could actually be talking about Achila and just Ardmar Ksus, and only talk about Ksus.
Well, that, we mentioned that way. We did mention Rishonim who distinguished between Ksus and Achila. That is correct. There was such a view. That one we mentioned already. So either we could distinguish between Achila and Ksus, we could distinguish between whether there are other options and whether there aren't other options. The most common chiluk that we find is this distinction between staka priority and hatzalah.
So,
which version is that about no other priority?
No other option? We saw an opinion, I think it's also in the Meiri, of that our Gemara is only talking about Ksus, and not about Tzavaka in general. And
right, that was what Tamir was just bringing up. Right? That's another chiluk that you also find, which is definitely not the Shulchan Aruch tradition. Shulchan Aruch clearly says that for all purposes of Staka, the Isha comes first. But that distinction is one of the distinctions that you find in some Rishon. So there is another possibility that some of the Achronim suggest that maybe it's Machlokas HaSugyos, even though we think the Mishnah is more authoritative, but maybe ultimately we don't paskin like the Mishnah in Harius. That is a view that some Achronim consider, and we'll mention over the course of the next few minutes, some of the views that contemporary poskim have taken about the sugya and harius in general. Many of the major poskim will talk about the Tzitz Eliezer and Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and a few others have taken up the practicalities of this sugya. So we'll talk about that for a second. We'll talk about that in a second. But one of the possibilities that a number of poskim note, the Tzitz Eliezer makes this suggestion, his Chuvus in Siman Yudches, in Chelek Yudches, in Siman Aleph, that maybe we don't paskin like Harius. That the Rambam doesn't bring at all, lahalacha, the Mishnah in Harius. And maybe it's ultimately that we don't paskin like it. And that maybe the Mishnah in Harius is talking about Staka, and therefore it's a direct steer between Harius and Suvus. And therefore, maybe Ksuvus is the bottom line, and that's how we pass it. So that's the position that was suggested by the Tzitz Eliezer. It was also suggested by a very interesting Talmud Chacham. You've heard of him by the name of Chaim Hirschenson. Chaim Hirschenson was an independent thinker, was one who wrote about many fascinating topics, sometimes controversially, sometimes less so. Wrote the Chuvus Malki Bekodesh. He was the Rav in Hoboken, New Jersey. So he died in 1935. He was born in Eretz Yisrael and came to Hoboken, not so far from here. You can take the ferry from Hoboken to Manhattan. And he was there until 1935 when he passed away. So he wrote the Chuvus, but he also wrote Chidushim Harius, known as the Chidushe Racha, Reish Chaim Hei, or Chaim Hirschenson. I think you can find it on the internet. If not, I can happily give you a copy. So if you read his Chidushim on the Daf, he says many fascinating things, the Chidushim on this Mishnah. So he also suggests, along the lines of the Tzitz Eliezer, who wrote later, that maybe the Rambam doesn't paskin like this Gemara B'chol. Now, why would that be? So let's think about it for a second. So again, for a textual perspective, if you interpret that the Mishnah is talking about, Mishnah Harius is talking about staka, that what does the hachayoso mean? It's a word that gives us an ambiguity. It could mean to save someone's life, or it could mean to sustain them. So the word lends itself equally to staka or life-saving, which is why it gives room for all this ambiguity. So if you assume it's a straight-out machlokes, okay, so maybe we paskin like, the Gemara here in Ksuvus. But what is the reason to reject, or at least for practical purposes, to reject the Mishnah in Harius? So first question is to ask is, why does the Mishnah in Harius say what it says? Right? Why should it be? Why should the Ish take priority over the Isha for Hatzalah purposes? Why should that be? So are we chauvinist? Well, what's the idea? What's the reason to prefer one over the other? Any thoughts?
So, as we mentioned before, the Rambam and others say that man has more mitzvos, he's higher in mitzvos aseishes man grama.
Okay, so that's how the Rambam and the Bar Nura and others maintain that it's a function of chiyuv mitzvos. Men are chayuv in more mitzvos, and that's the reason for the Mishnah, whatever it means. So, practically speaking, why should that matter? Why should that make a difference? God likes mitzvahs, okay, that's probably true. Good reason to believe that's probably the case. So therefore what? So
more mitzvahs will be done.
So more mitzvahs will be done. Okay, so if that's the case, right, that more mitzvahs will be done, so suggests to Chaim Hirschenson that if that's the point, so that's why it's dafka about staka and not about l'hachiyosu. It says that they're not about to save their lives. Because if we're trying to figure out what the word l'hachiyosu means in the Mishnah and Horios, so if it's about mitzvos, he says, it wouldn't make sense that it means to save lives, rather it would mean to support financially. Why is that true? Oh, so explain why you think Fakir, and tell me why you think the way it is.
If you're saving their lives, so you speak about two people are theoretically going to die, so if you save one, you save someone's life, and it's a man, so therefore they're going to be mitzvahs, but tzedakah may still be alive.
Okay, so your point is well taken. I'll tell you why he says the opposite. Anyone else want to comment on that? So he essentially assumes that, and there's a lot of support for this idea, that when you're talking about the value of a life, right, so we know that we don't really have room to assess how much a life is worth. Right? Lives are of infinite value, and therefore one person does more mitzvahs, one person does fewer mitzvahs. We don't really have the ability to assign a value to one life over the other. And that's reflected in at least one passage in the Gemara. I mean, there's probably a couple of Gemaras that you can cite to prove this point. What's one example, one particularly well-known Gemara?
Save one person.
Okay, that's true. Right, I was looking for my chazus. As Akiva pointed out, right, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if one says to you, shoot this person or I'll shoot you, so you don't have the right to cheshbon, well, my life is more important than whoever it is he asked me to shoot. Because we'll say to you, my chazis didamach didan, didan sumakit fei, didamach didach, sumakit fei midamach didan. What right do you have to say that your blood is redder than the other person's blood? So essentially the Gemara making the point that we don't have any calculus by which to cheshbon one life being worth more than the other. So essentially, says Chaim Hirschenson, that it doesn't make sense that this factor would be relevant for life saving. So rather, what's it relevant for? It's relevant for support. Now, why is that? Right, why is it relevant for support, Badavka? So why does it matter?
Mitzvahs need money.
Mitzvahs need money, right? That's basically true. If you recall, so during our Sunday series, for example, let's say yesterday, right, we were saying that there are different cheshbonos as to why you might prioritize one stock over the other. Right? Sometimes it might be midin staka, midin de machsaro, internal staka reasons. And sometimes it's because there are other factors that make you prioritize one cause over the other. So we said, for example, if you're going to support a worthy activity, that sometimes will be considered staka over other issues. So to hear, if by supporting someone you allow them to fulfill the mitzvos that they could do, so then maybe there's an argument to say that that person should be supported first. So using that logic, he says essentially that therefore the Mishnah in Horios is not talking about life saving, it is talking about staka, and therefore it's a stira between that Gemara, that Mishnah, and this Gemara. And ultimately, so we paskin like Suvas. So Harios is not paskin like. Now, it's interesting, just to follow that a little bit further. So one could ask, why should we paskin like the Gemara versus the Mishnah? Okay, one's later, one's more authoritative. But it's also probably relevant that, as we've seen throughout our Stucca discussions, that it's not really so much about paskening one versus the other, it's also about the fact that we have a couple of conflicting priorities and we're trying to figure out practically what's going to come first. So it could be on some level that Horius is true and Xubis is true. But for all practical purposes, Xubis is true. So it's not really about paskening one source against the other that they're in conflict with each other. It's that from the vantage point of one priority, Horius makes sense. And Ksubas tells us about another priority that also makes sense. And for practical purposes, we don't really have room to pay attention so much to Arius, and we only have room to pay attention to Ksubas when making decisions. So it could be that, yeah, the Gemara is saying ultimately, and Harius and Mishnah is telling you that if you support somebody who's tied for more mitzvahs, you'll have more of a hand in that. And the Gemara in Ksubas is telling us, but there's the busha factor and there is the ability to help yourself factor. So taking all those together, ultimately, la halacha, we worry more about the factors that the Gemara in Ksubas tells us about than that which the Mishnah in Harius tells us about. And the truth is, all of the dinim that we find in these sources, the Mishnah in Harius and the Gemara in Ksubas, are probably more relevant for the practicalities of this issue, not in terms of the categories that they discuss, but in terms of the reasoning. So our Gemara identifying busha as a factor, which we identified last week as part of the de machsoro consideration, somebody who's suffering more, or identifying chizur al apsachim as a factor, in other words, when you have other options, as also a part of how you decide who you give tzedakah to, which is the theme of a lot of the rest of our Gemara over here. So essentially, all of these makoros are telling us factors more than they're telling us categories, as much as they're identifying categories, but they're telling us reasons for those categories, and those reasons probably end up playing a bigger role in halacha l'maisa than the actual categories themselves. So it could be that that's essentially what's going on, that Horius tells us, look who does more mitzvos. The Gemara Ksubas tells us, look who suffers more, look who has other options, and ultimately we pay more attention to those factors.
But isn't that, I mean, it's still sort of passing them away.
Yeah, it's still, but it's different than, you know, saying this is Mutter on Shabbos and this source is Dasar on Shabbos, just deciding to throw out one and take the other. It's that when we talk about this type of shaila, it's a little bit different than your typical halachic shaila, that it's about decision making in a very complex situation. So we have makoros that are establishing what are valid factors for decisions, and practically we're favoring some factors over others, but they're all upheld in terms of telling us factors. Now the Tzitz Eliezer has a more straightforward approach to it, and essentially says the same point, that he thinks the Rambam paskins against Arios, and that could also affect how it comes out l'halacha. And his understanding is because it's about kiyum mitzvos, that the individual who is going to fulfill more mitzvos is going to take priority, and therefore, essentially, the Mishnah is saying, well, if everyone's fulfilling all the mitzvos, so the man is chayav more mitzvos than the woman is. But practically speaking, we don't actually know how that's actually going to play out at all. So therefore, he understands that the Mishnah always had to be much more theoretical than practical, and it's just identifying mitzvos as a factor. That we like to support mitzvos, as Aaron said, God likes mitzvos, so we want mitzvos to be possible. But practically speaking, that's not going to play much of an actual role in terms of how decisions are made, so that's why the Rambam doesn't quote l'halacha, this Mishnah in Harios. That's essentially how the Tzitz Eliezer understands it. And whether you go so far as to say it's not brought l'halacha, but practically speaking, the contemporary poskim who discuss what to do in these situations, in situations now, let's say, of Hatzalah, so when it comes to Stucca. So pretty much, it seems to be across the board agreed that the Isha gets the priority for Stucca, because either that's what the Gemara says in Ksubas and Horius isn't talking about that, or Horius is talking about that and the Gemara in Ksubas wins out. In any event, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, and even though some Rishonim distinguish between different types of Stucca, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. So practically speaking, if we're talking about Stucca Shailas, it seems clear that the Isha gets priority. So the question is, what about the other side of the equation? What about in terms of life-saving decisions? So how much does life-saving decisions get affected by the Mishnah and Harus? So many great poskim talk about this. The Tzitz Eliezer, as we mentioned, has a lengthy truth about this in the beginning of the 18th Chelek. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a couple of truths about this in Chosha Mishpat and Chelik Beis, in Semenayim Gimel and Semenayim Hei. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a truth about this in Mincha Shlomo. And we mentioned also Chaim Hirschinson's comments about this in his Kedushim to Horius. And also Rav Asher Weiss Shlita in his Tshuvas. He has now two volumes of Tshuvas. So in his first volume, I believe it's Simen Kuf Mem Vav, so he has a Tshuva where he goes pretty thoroughly through some of the principles. So for the most part, it's almost across the board that the din of Ish Kodim Li'isha and Harios does not really factor in Lamaisa. And there's basically three ways in which it makes an appearance, or in which it has a standing Lamaisa. Either you could say that it's not followed at all, that it's not Paskin-like, like the views that we just mentioned, or it is there theoretically, but other factors are more important and other factors almost always outweigh it. Or a slight tweak on that, that theoretically, if you ever have a situation where every other factor we could talk about is equal and there's nothing else by which to make a decision, so then maybe you turn to the Mishnah and Harius. But for the most part, it seems to be pretty much agreed by the Poskim that other factors outweigh it, that pretty much all the other factors that are considered outweigh it. So what are the other factors that might make a difference? Some of them can be derived from our Gemara here in Ksuvos, and some come from other sources. So what other factors do you think Pulse can consider in terms of addressing this question of whose life to save first? Any thoughts?
So
that's going to depend if it's something that is involving your resources specifically. So then a Karov could be mentioned. That Rav Daichovsky, who's a prominent Rav in Eretz Yisrael, has an essay in which he mentions that. That's not something the Poskim deal with so much. The Poskim are mostly dealing with medical health professionals, whether they are, some of them are dealing with EMTs, people giving emergency aid. Some are talking about hospitals that have limited resources in their emergency room or limited respirators and the like. So let's assume for a second that we're talking about people coming from some objective perspective or aren't related to anyone. So what other cheshbonos are there? Amir Heffahan?
Yes. I guess the likelihood of whether or not you could say one of the others.
That's one of the major cheshbonos. Might be perhaps the strongest cheshbon. Might be the cheshbon you see most often, that if one, you have a greater possibility of accomplishing, one, you have this mitzvah of Hatzalah in general, so it seems like wherever you have the best chance of fulfilling this mitzvah of Hatzalah, wherever it's most likely that you can make a difference, that's probably, I would say, you know, a little bit impressionistically, without actually adding up the words, but just in terms of the sense you get, that's probably the biggest factor that you see. And I heard Rav Asher Weiss discuss this, I didn't see in the Tshuvas, but he was discussing, let's say, if somebody has maybe triplets or quadruplets, somebody is carrying multiple children in the pregnancy, and sometimes the doctor says that there is, it's impossible, it's not going to last, that all the babies are going to survive, so there's a need to do what's known as, it's called fetal reduction, in order to preserve the viability of the other babies. So what if the doctor says, okay, so here's what's inside, there's two boys and two girls, so how do you decide? That's a very tough decision to make. How do you decide which one is not going to make it? So he discusses whether Horius applies there. Ultimately he says, no, it has no relevance there, but that the only decision is whichever one the doctor says has the best chance, that's the one should be given the best chance. And that's essentially the only cheshbon. So when it comes to Hatzalah of people who have been born already, I think it's safe to say that this is probably the cheshbon that you see the most often. That if one, you have a better chance, and the other, your chance is a little bit less, so then you'll go for the one who you have the most chance. What other cheshbonos do you see? What other cheshbonos do you think might be relevant?
Maybe if given more time, one of them could survive, so that the one who's closer to death that you would have to...
Okay, more survive. What do you mean by that? So say that a little bit sharper, because I can think of two things you might mean.
Meaning if someone's closer to drowning in the river, then you should save them first.
So, just to, again, sharpen exactly what you mean, you're saying that one is more urgent.
Yeah.
Right, so then essentially you're saying, so it's really the other way around. You're saying that there's a chance that if you save this one, the other one might still be around to be saved.
Right.
So, therefore, this one, the danger is more pressing, essentially. So, that is definitely a factor. What that really emphasizes, again, it really comes from paying attention to the other one. And it's really about the other one having other options. Right? In this case, the other option is you, that maybe you'll be available afterwards, and since this one has a greater chance of being still around in a few minutes, so then they have another option. It's kind of a complicated way of saying there's a better chance that they may survive without you, in this case, with you later. Right? So that is definitely something that you find in the poskim. And in that case, that might be something which emerges from our Gemara. Right, why does that emerge from our Gemara? What line do you see there? Yes?
Because the women have priority over men because the men can be chozer al-tachim.
Exactly. Right. So Chaim Hirschenson emphasizes this in his Kedushin. And he says that he thinks that ultimately is a klal that makes a difference, that if you have to decide who to save, so the people who you should save first are the people who have less of a possibility of saving themselves. That's essentially, says he's writing in Harish, but he says that's the din Gemara Ksubas Daf Samach Zayin, that the more a person has the possibility of being saved some other way, whether it's others who will reach him or the person is stronger and therefore there's a better chance they could do something on their own, so then that's going to be the priority, and that's the Halacha L'maisa that emerges from Ardaf Ksubas Daf Samach Zayin Halacha L'maisa. Hi.
One of the men you disagree with that, and others.
Okay, explain.
Because he presents the case as, if someone's drowning in the river, or...
He assumes that the Gemaras are split on that point.
Yeah.
Right, that's an interesting point, right. So it could be so that the Meiri doesn't think that's true for Hatzalah purposes, only thing that's true for Stucker purposes. You might be right. Yeah. He doesn't quote the Meiri of Chaim Hirschenson. He does, he assumes the Halacha, that is a principle that is relevant. And... he therefore says, and this is very interesting, so he died in 1935. I don't know exactly when he wrote this, but I can tell you a time frame. He wrote it between 1912 and 1935, because he discusses the Titanic in this shtickle. So he writes there that because there is this notion that whoever is more likely to be able to save themselves first, save themselves without you, so then you should prioritize everyone else. So he writes, and this is interesting because, again, Chaim Hirschenson is perceived as more of a modern kind of liberal thinker. It's interesting what he says over here. He says, that's the only svara that supports the idea of ladies first. But other than that, he says, doesn't make sense halachically. So he discusses the Titanic there, and he says the idea that the lifeboats should be given to the women before the men says it doesn't really make any sense to halacha, and it's a bad policy, because the policy should be based on other factors such as whoever needs the most help or whoever can be most likely to be saved, etc., etc. But ladies first independently, says, doesn't make any sense halachically, unless the assumption is that the women are less in a position to save themselves. If the messias is, the men are stronger, and there's a better chance that they'll be able to save themselves and the women can't, so then it makes sense to go like that. But if the women are stronger and the men are weaker, so then you should take care of the men first. It says the idea of ladies first by itself doesn't make any sense, except to the extent that it accords with this particular spark.
Then also on the flip side, not really on the flip side, if neither of them are highly likely to be saved, even with the lifeboats, and under the generalization that males are physically superior, then the males are more likely to be saved with the lifeboats than the males get.
I mean, you're saying that it's a better chance that they'll actually succeed in being saved, if that's true, right? If you get freshmen, that's true. I don't know if that follows, but theoretically, that might be true.
Yeah, but that doesn't contradict itself, not because they're women, because it's based on other factors.
Right. Well, it depends which factor. Both factors you find in the post, whoever will have a better chance of saving, and whoever has less chance of being able to save themselves. So it's, they're both there. Now, it's interesting. Some of the posts you find, no, it's really only one thing. Whoever is most urgent, and you know, they actually say three things in one sense. It's really, these are not the exact same thing, and you have to kindly weigh them against each other. He also makes a few other points there. He says that all of this is true as far as Hatzalah, and it's not a heter to throw someone off. He says, so for sure, you couldn't throw someone out of a lifeboat because you decide that somebody else is higher on the list and you want to be in a lifeboat. He says that would essentially be Ritzicha. So he says, like on the Titanic, if they told the men to get out of the lifeboat, or they put the women in the lifeboat, he said, that's essentially an act of Ritzicha. You don't have the right to, he said, ain't doch and nefesh, but they nefesh. That's again, the way he explained the Rambam we mentioned a few minutes ago, is you don't have the right to say that I will take away somebody's life-saving opportunity to save somebody else. And therefore, anybody who's already in a lifeboat is going to get priority over anyone else you want to put in a lifeboat. And he goes on to say that any person talking about saving themselves, whoever they are, so they have a right to come first in line. That they don't have to say, well, from whatever halachic principle, the guy behind me gets saved first, so therefore I'll step aside and let that person go first. To that, we use the principle, the Gemara in Bavmetzi and Daf Samach Aleph, right? Chayacha kodmim, that you always have the right to save your own life. So if it's just a question of you run faster than the other person, so you are first in line, so that is legitimate. And he even says that there's no svara to volunteer the opposite, to say that you'll let the other person go in front of you even though you don't have to. He says that's not meshubach. There isn't any advantage to that. Unless, and here's an interesting point, so you remember we discussed the other day what's a Kiddush Hashem and what's not a Kiddush Hashem. He says, unless there's a tzad for Kiddush Hashem by you doing this. And in that context, he evokes the name Strauss. Now, what's the story with Strauss? Are you familiar with the story?
Yeah.
Right, so who's Strauss?
Levi Strauss.
Part of the partner of Levi Strauss, right? So Isidore Strauss was a famous Jewish philanthropist who died on the Titanic together with his wife. And he was offered a seat on the lifeboat, and he refused. He said he's not going to go before other people. And then his wife refused also because she said she wasn't going to save her life without her husband, that they live together and they'll die together. So they both refused lifeboats, and they both died that night in the Titanic. So he says, okay, so what Hanadiv Strauss, the Chana Levracha, did, he says, so that is Kiddush Hashem. So now you could ask, we discussed last week, is it a Kiddush Hashem to do things that don't necessarily correlate to the halacha? So here he says that the idea is to show that he's willing to respect, he doesn't use this word, but essentially like the dinat malchusa, the chukim that were established by society, so that's a mile or two. So, okay, to show respect for that, that's the Kiddush Hashem, that's legitimate. But just abstractly, without that being valid, he thinks there isn't even a harez and a shubach for a person to voluntarily say, I'll let someone else come before me, but rather, chayecha kodmim. He does mention, in terms of the rules, he says the captain of the ship does have the right to decide, okay, what is going to be the safest policy for evacuation, and what are going to be my rules, how can I most effectively save the lives of the most people? So somebody who's in charge, like the captain of the ship or some similar scenario, does have a right to set how things are going to go in terms of the evacuation, and you do have to follow that. And certainly also he emphasizes that saying chayecha kodmim doesn't mean you can throw somebody else out of the boat, because that's the same problem of ein doch nefesh b'pnei nefesh. So it's a subtle distinction. So basically, there's many different gradations here. That when you're saving somebody else's life, so then we could have certain cheshbonos to figure out whose life comes first. When the person is already in a life-saving, secure position, so then you don't have the right to throw that person out of that position and into sakana to save someone else's life, whoever they are. That's in the category of ein doch nefesh b'pnei nefesh. And if it's your own life, so then you don't have to pay attention to priorities at all, because chayecha kodmim, but you also can't throw somebody else out of the lifeboat to save your life, because that goes back to ein doch nefesh b'pnei nefesh. Okay, so far so good. That's essentially how Chaim Hirschenson lays out the policies. Hi.
So, does someone who wants to save their own life have to follow the captain in their
determination? It would seem like he has to follow the captain. I think that's the way he understands it, because that's essentially a part where he sets the rules of how things should be laid out. So that essentially is going to be to take somebody else to go out of the order is going to be like a tchiyah, that essentially that other person is already saved, and you're stopping them, you're going to break these rules, you're basically taking them away from their safe place. So that is a situation of Ein Docheh Nefesh M'Nefesh, if I understand correctly. So again, there were many later poskim, Tamir.
Would proximity play a factor, as in all things are equal, but one person, you know, you get a call on the call, one person's 10 minutes away, one person's 5 minutes away?
So I think it makes a difference only in terms of how likely you are to make a difference. Rav Asher Weiss, since we mentioned Rav Asher Weiss and the Tzitz Eliezer today, so they're both particularly relevant to this discussion, because the Tzitz Eliezer was the posek for Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. He was one of the most consulted poskim on the medical issues, so this is certainly high among his priorities. And after he was nifter a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Asher Weiss took on that position. So the psakim of the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Asher Weiss are particularly relevant to this point. So Rav Asher Weiss talks about, it's not exactly what you're saying, so he says, let's say, you know, you're called to an accident scene, and you're an EMT, and so there's somebody a foot in front of you, and there's somebody 3 feet in front of you. So should we say, Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvos? We say that you shouldn't pass up the person who's in front of you. So he doesn't accept that. He thinks Eim Avirin Ala Mitzvos is basically about how you do mitzvos in general, and it's not relevant to something like Hatzalah, which is about the result. We're not here, this is not a din in Kiyum HaMitzvos, this is a din in the result. And therefore, the result is going to be based on factors like where you're going to make the biggest difference. So, it will make a difference if you could save somebody next door, or you have to hop in your ambulance and drive 10 minutes away. So, presumably, you're going to have a better chance with the person in front of you. But if there's somebody here and there's somebody 3 feet over there, it's just a question of literally passing one to go 3 feet to the other, then presumably that 3 feet's not going to make much of a difference in terms of where the odds are best. And that's going to really not be a relevant factor. In terms of this idea of taking somebody out of the position of Hatzalah that Rav Chaim Hirschenson discusses, so Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses in his tshuva, as I mentioned before, in Choshen Mishpat in Chelek Beis, he talks about, you know, essentially he focuses on other factors other than the Mishnah and Harius. In Siman Ayin Hey, he says, and he talks about a doctor deciding where to go, he says really all the other factors are going to be the determinant. If there's mamish, nothing else to go by, so then he mentions Harius as a way to decide, and he also mentions a goro, essentially that maybe you should just take a lottery. Rav Moshe Feinstein. It sounds like he says if a doctor doesn't know where the Horius is going to fit in. But again, it's going to be very rare that this is really going to be the determinant. But Rav Moshe discusses in Siman Ayin Gimel over there that let's say you have a limited respirators, you're in a hospital room, you have limited machines, whatever the machine is that you need for the circumstance. So that's going to be where a question like this is going to come up. If you have two patients at the same time who both need a machine that's only available for one. But he writes also that if you have one person already on the machine, so then that becomes the determinant. You don't have the right to take somebody off the machine to put somebody else on the machine. And it seems to be similar along the lines to what Rav Chaim Hirschenson was saying. And he also notes that as an added factor, that if you're going to do this, if you're basically making a statement to this patient, sorry, you don't have much of a chance left, so someone else is taking your spot, so that itself is going to be harmful to the patient. That's going to cause tirif hadas, that's going to have a tremendous negative psychological effect, and that's an additional reason not to do it. Hi.
Is it true, even if they pretty much know that the person who's out of now is gonna pass away shortly?
So that's how Rav Moshe assumes. Rav Asher Weiss, in his Chuvas, takes issue with this. Rav Asher Weiss writes that he's not sure why this is true. Rav Moshe has a lashon of Kvar Zocha, the first one was already Zocha to this. So let's say if you want to compare it to what Rav Chaim Hirschenson wrote about the lifeboat, that the way he seems to understand it is essentially this individual now, his life is kilu saved, for at least relative purposes. So you're basically killing him by taking him out of the lifeboat and putting somebody else in the lifeboat. So it's not clear if that's what Rav Moshe means when he talks about these machines. He talks about the first one already being zochet to it. So what does that mean, that he's zochet to it? So Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein writes somewhere that maybe it means that it's a private hospital where people are paying specifically for these services. So it's like this is his property, he paid for it. But Rav Moshe is explicit in his tshuva, that's actually not what he's talking about. And Rav Asher Weiss notes this as well. Rav Moshe says beferish that he's not talking about that situation. He's talking about a situation, he says explicitly, even if it's a public hospital where nobody's paying anything and everyone is being treated as a chesed, that this is still true. It has nothing to do with anything anybody paid for. It seems to be that this is already kiilu his. Like, that's essentially what he means. Rav Asher Weiss, though, practically disagrees with this, and he says he doesn't think that that concept really factors in hospitals, that the hospitals are always making cheshbonos about how we're going to prioritize our efforts and how we're going to decide triage decisions, and therefore it's always the case that they're moving people around. So there's no zechia in any sense of the word, not in the monetary sense or even in the other sense of the word. There's no definition by which it's true, he writes, that somebody has a claim on a specific spot or a specific machine. And he says, in terms of the tier of hadas factors, so you have to figure out a way to address this with seichel so that you're not going to cause a demoralization of the patient that's being moved around. But he thinks, at least in theory, it is legitimate for the hospital to move around the resources based on whatever they think the prioritized medical need is, and so essentially he disagrees with Rav Moshe on this point. There is another factor that I don't think anyone has said yet in terms of how to decide whether one comes before the other. So maybe this was implied in some of your suggestions, but also the question is, what if one person, let's say you could save one, you could save the other, but one person is already very sick and is not destined to live very long, and the other person, if you save his life, can live a whole natural life for a long time. So we find sometimes the definition in halacha, we find terminology which is not very concretely defined at all. This is something Rav Asher Weiss discusses separately. But we find terminology of chayi olam and chayi sha. Right? Gemara uses that in many different contexts. Sometimes you talk about gashmius as chayi sha and ruchmius as olam haba as chayi olam. But poskim also use it to mean, just in terms of olam hazeh, that somebody who could go on and live for many years, if you solve this one problem, we call that the chayi olam. And somebody who is already on what we call borrowed time, in a sense, more than the average person, so that's called chayisha. Again, what does that mean practically in terms of months, in terms of any other state? The poskim have now really clearly defined it. But let's assume for a second that we could put a number on it. So is there a svara to prioritize somebody who will live for quote-unquote chayolom as opposed to somebody who will live for chayisha? So that is also one of the cheshbonos that you find that's brought into this. It's probably secondary to the other cheshbon of who do you have a better chance of making a difference to, but this is also something that's entered into the equation. This emerges from a number of possibly conflicting makoros. On the one hand, the Gemara says in Yuma that your machal Shabbos to save someone's life, even if they're already very sick and the chances are that they're not going to live much longer, so we're machal Shabbos anyway. And in that context, so the Gemara makes it clear that even for chayisha, even for a life that is not destined to live a long time, that's enough justification for chil Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. On the other hand, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah talks about when you, let's say, you want to take a haircut or you want to be treated medically by somebody who's chashad al ritzicha, somebody who you're afraid will kill you once they have you in the barber's chair, once they have you under the operating table, that you're still permitted to do this if you think that the refuah could save your life, somebody who's sick in a terminal way, but potentially their lives could be saved by this procedure. So to undergo this procedure for somebody, there's a chance they might kill you, but there's also a chance they may save your life, and then you could go on and live for a while. So there, in that context, the Gemara seems to say that it's legitimate for you to risk your chayisha in order to secure, possibly, or to have a chance of securing, rather, a chayol, which is a major discussion post can deal with all the time, manazeh. That's not usually the case. Nowadays, we have doctors who are not chashuv avitzicha, hopefully. So we don't have to deal with that specific case that the Gemara talks about. But abstractly, it's very relevant to decisions in terms of surgeries and the like, and treatments patients make all the time, that a certain treatment has a chance of curing their situation and giving them a long life. But it also has a chance of being immediately fatal. So if somebody has a life-threatening condition, so they could have a surgery which may kill them on the spot, which otherwise, so if those are the odds, normally you wouldn't be allowed to do something like that, which may have a good chance of killing you on the spot. But the alternative is it may also provide you with the possibility of saving your life in the long term. So to weigh those two against each other, that's a very common shaila that posts can have in terms of these kinds of surgeries and other kinds of treatments. That's a very frequently discussed issue, which are all kinds of cheshbonos. But the point being that at least theoretically, we see that chayi olam can be considered a factor against chayi shah. So on the one hand, the Gemara in Yuma says, we're machal shabbos for chayi shah. Apparently that's treated like equal to chayi olam. And on the other hand, the Gemara says that we don't treat equally to chayi olam if we have to way between the two. So it seems like we basically factor in chayi olam for the benefit of the patient to whatever extent we can, that we want to save life. It's all on the side of life. So if we can save life compared to nothing, let's say the person has only the possibility of chayi shah, so we'll be mechal shabbos for that. But if we're weighing up chayi shah versus chayi olam, so then it's legitimate to, or at least theoretically, depending on other cheshbonos, it could be relevant, it could be legitimate to risk chayi shah to protect chayi olam, that we see within one person, and therefore by extension, presumably also in dealing with two people, it could make sense to say that if one has potential chayi olam and one only has potential chayi shah, that that could also be a legitimate reason to prefer one over the other. Tamir?
Where's the second bar mentioned?
The second bar is in Avodah Zarah.
And the first bar?
Is in the last paragraph of Yuma.
That says
in terms of, that's where the Pikuach Nefesh is up here, the Pikuach Nefesh Lochas HaShabbos, towards the end of Masachas Yuma. So the Gemara talks about, this is also the main Gemara that's quoted in terms of brain death, because there the Gemara talks about if somebody has a building collapse on top of them on Shabbos, so you're allowed to dig them out if there's a chance they're still alive, because you want to Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. If they're definitely not alive anymore, so then it's not mutter. So in that context, the Gemara talks about how you try to figure out whether the person is alive or not. And it also says that even if the chances are you're only going to save them for a little bit, but that's still a justification for Chil Shabbos. So that is another major cheshbon that you find here. In a different shuvah, in Chelek Beis of the Menachas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss very strongly rejects another idea. I heard him speak about this in public once, and the room was horrified at the thought. But he also very quickly rejected it. That it was somebody who suggested that if a doctor has two patients he could choose to treat, so then someone had a raya from somewhere that he could prefer the one who will pay more, or one who will pay versus one who won't pay. So the audience, when I heard him talk about this, was horrified at this suggestion. Rasher Weiss himself was also horrified about this. And his tshuva, he says, this is for sure not the cheshbon. This is not one of the legitimate factors. He writes that, you know, if you have non-life-saving treatments, so then the doctor has the right, and every professional has a right, to, even if it's a chesed, to perform it for free. And even though the only reason doctors are allowed to get paid at all is because we call schar batala, because really they're doing a mitzvah, they shouldn't charge anybody, but they can get paid because of their time that they could have spent doing other things, just like rebbeim. So that, even within that, so yes, if we're talking about non-life-threatening conditions, so a doctor does have the right to first treat the paying patients and then the non-paying patients, but in terms of these decisions of whose life's going to be saved first, so he's very emphatic that this is not a cheshbon. And he adds also that it's not just that it's not a cheshbon, but, you know, similar to what we saw about Gabbai preferring relatives, so the relatives, theoretically, might be the best choice, except that the Gabbai preferring the relatives is not going to be able to be so objective in calculating that the relative is the best choice. This is so to hear that this payment essentially is going to function as shochad. So if you make the wrong decision because of the payment, so that's already wrong. But he says to factor it at all means you're going to make the wrong decision anyway, because you're not going to be able to evaluate objectively who is it who has a better chance to survive, or who is it who you can make a bigger difference for. So once one is paying and one isn't, all of a sudden you'll decide that you could do a better job with this patient, or this patient has a better chance, and that's going to have such a killful, that's going to do such a damage to the decision, that that itself is a terrible thing to do. So essentially, those are some of the Rashi Prakim. We're almost out of time, so maybe we'll just chazen, maybe we'll add a word or two about this tomorrow, but these are some of the Rashi Prakim of this very tricky sugya. Any questions about this? Any comments?
Can you mention what the raya was that you can theoretically choose?
Yeah, he quotes from an earlier sefer that that talks about making the person pay after you save them, which means that you could charge them in the first place, which means it's a difference. It's a little bit of a complicated raya. You read it in his shuvas and pay the base. Hi.
Also,
what
does being equal with putting down a child being referred to?
So there are those who talk about Dachovsky in his article. He says, after going through everything else, he says there are some other cheshbonos maybe that also make a difference. You know, it's clear that we don't really have, you know, such clear yesodos, even though we have too many makaros, we have conflicting makaros, but it's apparently not enough. So we have, again, what emerges is that it's not so much Ish Isha, Kohen, Levi, etc. that really comes out Lamaisa, but it's the principles which seem to be relevant. Can they save themselves? Will you be able to fulfill the mitzvah more likely, mitzvah of hatzalah more likely here, more likely there? So how many mitzvahs will be performed? So it seems like abstracting those principles and then making decisions based on it is more what you find. So theoretically, one could come to such a conclusion, and that's a possibility. You could make other decisions as well. Should also note that Chaim Hirschinson, when he decides why, when he discusses why the Mishnah in Horiyah says what it says, so he thinks the priority, he personally assumes, not like the Rambam, that it's about mitzvos and about more obligation in mitzvos, but he assumes that the whole progression of Mishnah is about who more people are affected by. And he quotes a Rashi in Nozir to this effect, in Daf Mem Zayin, that somebody who more people depend on him is going to take priority. So by that logic, one might say that if you have a young child versus a father of children, that maybe the father actually would take priority because more people are dependent on him. So there is a svara like that as well, and he thinks that's what the Mishnah Horius is getting at.
Men are
usually the family providers, so then if that's the case, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that whoever, and again, that's also going to be a Metzias question. So, like that, every single one of these principles is not going to be absolute and is going to be subject to decision. So let's quickly review what we spoke about. So we discussed the essential contradiction, the apparent contradiction between the Mishnah and Horius and the Gemara and Subis as far as what gets priority for tzedakah, and the number of resolutions. Some of the Rishonim saying that it's a difference between sus and food. Some Rishonim saying that it's a difference between whether other options or not. And the most common distinction is that the Mishnah is talking about Hatzalah, and that the Gemara is talking about tzedakah, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins for all tzedakah purposes, the woman gets priorities. The question of what to do with the Hatzalah dinin in the Mishnah and Horios. So there are those who say we don't paskin like it at all, both the Tzitz Eliezer and the Chaim Hirschinson think that's the Rambam's view, and that that's a l'shutasa from the fact that the Rambam says the distinction is based on mitzvos. So since it's based on mitzvos, according to Chaim Hirschinson, so it's about tzedakah, because it's about supporting the mitzvah, because it wouldn't be about saving lives, because that doesn't affect whose life gets saved first. So therefore it's got to be about tzedakah, and Ksubas is also about tzedakah, so therefore Ksubas wins. And according to Tzitz Eliezer, it's about mitzvos, but that's in the abstract. We can't really know who performs more mitzvos, so it's not practical, and therefore we don't paskin like it, and we paskin like ksubas. Whether or not we paskin like it, but most of the poskim we talk about this still assume that almost every other factor comes first, and that it's only when there's really nothing else to go by that maybe we start talking about it. And then what else do you talk about? So either you talk about who has the better chance of survival, better chance that you can accomplish something, so the Hatzala has a better chance of being performed. That was one major possibility, and also the possibility of who can help themselves. And that's essentially, again, that possibly emerges from our Gemara, and that's what Chaim Hirschenstein writes, that the klal that emerges from our Gemara is that whoever can help themselves takes priority, and that's the only logic behind ladies first, he writes, otherwise it doesn't make sense. And he also writes that any of these rules only apply to somebody who's choosing who to save, but if somebody is already in a secure position, so to remove them from that secure position for somebody else, that's essentially the sicha, and that's never permitted. And also, for somebody deciding to save their own life, so then they don't have to follow these rules. Chayecha kodmim, you go first. And he says there's no mile at all to volunteering not to go first, unless there's Kiddush Hashem involved. We said that was a story with Strauss on the Titanic. And he also says it's legitimate for whoever's in charge to set up whatever rules will best facilitate making these decisions, and those rules become binding. And then we talked also about Moshe Feinstein and his Chuvis, where he says that really it's not about Haris, it's about other decisions, like Rosh Hashanah says also. But Moshe writes, if somebody's already being treated on a machine, you can't take them off that machine, because he was already a Zeche to that, and it'll cause Tira Fadas. Rav Asher Weiss essentially disagrees. He says the Zechiyah is not about Mominus, like Chaim Zilberstein says. Moshe is explicit, but it's not about Mominus. But whatever it is about, he thinks ultimately it's not true. The hospitals have the ability and the reality of constantly reevaluating their decisions of what's the priority, and that essentially Tir Fadas they should try to address in some other way, and do whatever they can, but that ultimately they are justified in moving it around. And the point he also makes, that the idea of whether a payment should factor in, he says, chas v'shalom, it's not a legitimate factor. And not only that, but it will mess up all the other factors because of the potential corruption that can emerge from that. So ultimately what comes out is that really Ksuba seems to be the dominant source, certainly for Tzedaka, probably for Hatzalah, as far as Hatzalah, Horius is either not really Paskin-like or Paskin-like only in a very, very rare case where everything else is completely equal, which is hard to imagine. So for the most part, it's really the other Cheshbonus, which the post can invoke as making a difference. Okay, so maybe we'll add a word about this tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to move on with the sugyas that appear on the staff and get to hopefully heading towards this and moving on to some other things. Okay, so we will down in Unta. Everyone should stay warm. Say. Rashi should be said by Jalutasela.